fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is my big sister, Suzanne Chambers. She's visiting me from the UK, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk to her about some of the songs that evoke her memories, because obviously being that bit older than me, I'm going to rub that in, she has different memories and different musical tastes to me. So, Suz, red, red wine. We drink a lot of that. And the song happens to be one of your favourites. So tell me a bit about what that does for you.
I think because I was a huge fan of UB40 at the time, and it's not their original song, it's a cover for them. But I think when that song came out, I was visiting Germany, which is where we were living at the time, and through our youth club, got to hear about... that they were going to be performing in Germany live. You then mentioned about getting tickets, and then it came about that I managed to go to a concert. But the Red Red Wine was the song that I liked the most at the time that they had had done a cover of, because there was Cherry O' Baby and others.
You were really quite into reggae and all of that stuff.
I think even the support act was Black Roots, and I'd not heard of them before and what have you, and they put on a great performance. But yes, I'd listened to Lovers Rock, reggae, you know, the whole Bob Marley thing, Maxi Priest, at school, because we were a multinational boarding school, and so therefore my musical tastes were quite eclectic from various backgrounds. We had Spanish, Chinese, English, as well as Africans, and so it kind of stemmed from there, really.
Was it annoying to have your kid sister tagging along, because I must have been about 13, 14 at that point in time.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I was 17 at the time, and I think it was just the feeling of the concert itself was such a good vibe, and I believe we were like right at the front.
Yes.
I remember being right up against the barrier and literally dancing my the life out of myself. But right at the front, and couldn't believe I was within sort of like 12 foot of the stage.
Kissing distance of Ali Campbell.
Yes, I know. swoon.
So that was my first concert as well.
Yeah, and mine. I'd never been to a live gig before. And yeah, just that whole vibrancy, and yeah, it was quite electric.
So what year was that? If you were 17, that must have been...
So that's got to be
83. UB40 actually supposed to be playing in Malta next year, so you could come back and that would be like the 30th anniversary. Blimey, 35 years later. We can go and
still skanking and
maybe we should try that. We can set a date. So I'm going further down this line, and you've got Forget-Me-Nots.
Oh my goodness. Ding, ding.
Yeah, that one.
So that, and even to this day, so a very old school friend of mine, Danielle, she won't mind me mentioning her name, we'll still remember this, we still remember it as of today. And what happened was, a few of us decided to make a dance routine to the Forget-Me-Nots song.
You're so lucky this is radio and not
I video. I know. And that we didn't have social media at the time as well. But yeah, I don't think any of us remember the moves, but we do remember the song and that we made a dance routine to the song. And that's what it reminds us of every time we listen to it.
So let's have a listen to that and we'll see if it can evoke any of those moves for you. One on here, I'm a little bit surprised by.
Oh yeah,
Unchained Melody.
Yeah, it's a little bit soppy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the film Ghost.
Oh yeah.
Was obviously a big film at the time. Now remembering that I was due to get married in 1992, and the film must have been out just prior to that. And it's a beautiful song in itself, but it's the one that plays over that whole throwing the clay scene.
Oh, yeah.
And so very memorable to a lot of people. And, yes, I had a wedding that was due the following year, I think, after watching the movie. And, yeah, it seemed to have the right lyrics. It was slow enough to be a slow dance. And so in our minds, it would make a good sort of like first dance as a couple. Needless to say, I didn't get married.
Was it because you wanted Patrick Swayze instead after seeing
him? Yes, yeah. I mean, he's a way, way better mover.
Or maybe you could have done the dance routine, because that's all the trend now, isn't it? Yeah. That people do dance routines for their weddings. So.
And have you seen some of them? But yeah.
Yeah, okay. But yeah. That song is still kind of like, oh, takes you back.
Yes, yeah. And obviously I'd heard the song before the film itself. I am of that age. But yeah, it was just a sweet, sweet kind of song. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
It makes me kind of have to deep breath and sort of, it's one of those for me. Mm. It's not on my memorable list, but when you hear it, you do have to sort of stop and you get goosebumps and yeah. All your hairs stand on end and something. Let's have a listen to that one too.
Whoa, hungered for your touch along lonely time. And time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much for you, still more. Speed your love to me. Lonely rivers flow to the sea, to the open arms of the sea. Lonely rivers sigh, wait for me, I'll be coming home, wait for me.
One that's quite a fun one, actually.
Sisters are doing it by themselves.
You know, you can't sit still to that. No one can sit still to that. Even if I'm singing it, one can sit still to that.
But it's a definite evoking of the time I used to work at a nightclub while I was going to college, and this was like practically an anthem for the nightclub. And I always remember we used to ask the DJ to play it if I wasn't working and I was there on an actual girls' night out. Mm-hmm. We used to ask for it to be played, even, you know. And it's such a good feeling one. You want to dance, such energy in it. And so it reminds me of those days, and specifically that club.
What was the club?
Malibu Club.
Oh, in Weymouth.
In Weymouth.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, so for me, it reminds me of the club. I was working there as well some evenings, and obviously for nights out.
And didn't it have a little, it had like a palm tree and a fish pond or something?
So as part of my initiation, I had to take a dip in that little pond that we had in the corner of the club. And you're right, there was a palm tree and what have you. But yes, I had a dip in that pool
once. And did you used to go to the Malibu while you were still at school?
Yes, I may have done. Mum, you're not listening, are you? But yes, we used to sneak out at night with
this is from boarding school. Not
boarding
from
school,
home,
yeah, so. Yeah. With high heels in your hands, and then as soon as you were outside the gates of the boarding school, on used to go the shoes, and off you go to the clubs and the bars.
Because my favourite memory of your gang, because I was a goody two shoes in comparison to you guys, was one of your friends who I shan't mention.
Yeah.
But she used to leave her running shoes outside her room so that the housemistress would think she was in the shower having been for a run, but actually she'd been out clubbing all night. So these sort of stories make me remember what a rebel you were and what a boring young woman I was.
But that seems to have changed.
Well, you know, it's time I had some fun. So sisters are doing it for themselves. That was Aretha Franklin and Annie Lennox, was that?
At the time, it was Aretha Franklin, yes,
and Annie Lennox. Yeah, yeah, because it was like an odd pairing, but it was really like,
and they're quite, both of them have very powerful voices, so it made such a good match.
Excellent. One I loved as well, but it's another one. But you have to sort of sing with your arms in the air. That I found love. I'm not going to keep doing that. I found loving by the Fatback Band.
Yeah,
but it's seriously, you have to lift up your arms. You can't.
I like any music. I've got quite a varied taste that makes you move, and I can't sit still if I hear this kind of tune. But this is so. memorable of discos, as they used to be called in my youth, and they always bring it out. I've been to a couple of the boogie nights here in Malta, so they play it at those sort of evenings, and yeah, from times when we've been out as well, and we've asked for it from the DJ to play it, etc. But yeah, this is just the whole youthful get off your seat and get dancing, and yeah, you're quite right, it's the waving your arms in the air and your booty, shaking your booty, that sort of thing.
And do you think it's not fair that now we're, you know, of a certain age, that there's nowhere for us to go anymore? You know, I don't know what it's like in the UK, but in Malta it kind of stops. You know, you hit 40, I know we've passed 40, but you hit 40 and it kind of starts to slow down the places you can go to where your friends' kids aren't going.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a shame because we want to go to dance. You don't want to go to...
Yeah, even when I lived here, I found it very difficult to find a place that actually played music that, yeah, the slightly older but young at heart sort of people would go and enjoy the music. In the UK, we have an abundance. Even in the town that I live, there is a place called Canvas, and it caters to, I would say, the 40-plus generation. And there is even a band that does cover music called Groove Meister. So clearly they play all of that good stuff. And I've actually been on a night where they've...
Because not everybody is, you know, married by that age with kids at that age.
No.
You know, the separated, divorced, just single, expats moving to Malta, want to meet people. And if you're working for yourself, whatever, you want to be able to go somewhere to be able to meet people in a fun environment. Yeah. You know, you can't go to the theatre on your own. You can't... We can, but, you know, going for dinner on your own, no one's going to speak to you anyway. Everyone just feels sad, but at least you can go dancing and, you know, create more musical memories.
see the sun glow. A picture that's so bright, you're my delight, and that's why I love you so. I played around with love before, I was silly, and you know that I played the fool. But then you came into my life and you changed that, 'cause I know what I wanna very sad with you. Somebody keep me up.
One here by the Style Council, who were one of my favourite bands at the time. I remember Mum used to want to throw out all my clothes because I'd be buying everything from charity shops because I wanted to wear everything 1960s, and the fabrics, if I think about them now, would have probably caught light at, you know, or the sight of a match, let alone anything else. But that sort of retro influence, there's quite a lot of it in your in your choices. But the Style Council, You're the Best Thing.
Yeah, I had followed Paul Weller.
I'd followed Paul Weller to the end of the
year. I know.
But yeah.
I'd followed Paul Weller from The Jam, and I distinctly remember in at boarding school having posters of The Jam, amongst other bands, etc., on the walls. So then when, obviously, him and, forgive me, I don't know the guy's name, had created Style Council, and the music was fabulous. So it wasn't just because it was Paul Weller. The music was actually brilliant. And You're the Best Thing, I don't know, it just seemed to have a really good melody. I loved the lyrics. And, yeah, it just kind of gives me goosebumps whenever I hear it. I still have a few of the actual vinyl.
Keep them.
Yeah, absolutely. And even on Spotify, I've got Paul Weller's albums and etc.
Do you still follow him now? You still like his stuff?
Yeah,
today?
I've even got a fan page of his on Facebook. Even when he went to being just a solo artist, so Stanley Road, Wildwood, that
all
sort
of
stuff, I still have all of that music as well. But a colleague of mine, actually, where I work, she's an even bigger, like huge fan. I think she's been to multiple concerts, etc. But so she kind of reminds me of certain things, songs, etc. But yeah, no, You're the Best Thing, I think, from the Style Council was probably my favourite at the time.
So just a favourite song, no particular memory attached, just makes you...
There was a boyfriend at the time, and I think it was at that time that's it reminds me of him as
you're
well.
You're smiling when you talk about him, so
yeah,
that's a nice thing.
And bless him, he's not still with us, unfortunately, but yeah, so it does, it reminds me of him a little bit.
But at least it gives you the smiles, and that's
absolutely
the important thing. And there's always Paul Weller to look at as well. So,
yeah.
Frankly.
Chase the rainbows knows all that is mine. I could be alive, but I know I'm not. I'm content just with the riches that you bring. Oh, I might shoot the wind and commit the sin.
Here's a good one. This is Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Again, just makes you smile immediately, but...
Yeah.
Happy birthday to ya.
Yeah, absolutely. and I know it was, you know, for Martin Luther King. However, it was in Germany. We were at a youth club. It happened to be summer holidays, my birthday's in August, and my birthday was at that time, and the DJ knew it, so I'm sure you probably told him, and lo and behold, he plays Stevie Wonder, Happy Birthday, and every single time I hear that song, and again I have it on Spotify, it just takes me straight back to the youth club. I know exactly what I'm wearing.
Oh, what was that? Tell us.
Oh, God, it was completely unstylish. I had a navy blue and light blue kind of funky sweatshirty top. And I had not dissimilar hairstyle. I know this is radio, so nobody's going to be able to see. But I had a similar hairstyle, and I just had one earring. It had like a Diamante love heart on it, and I think there was a photograph that was taken on the same evening. And I'm absolutely beaming. But yeah, so every time I hear this song, it just takes me straight back to there. That evening.
What was that, your 16th, something like that?
Yeah,
birthday?
Yeah.
But I see now, you'd be fashionable again with the one earring and the...
I know. Setting a trend.
There you go. But it all comes back. So what was it like living in Germany, but you went to school in England? What was that like for you?
It was partially exciting because you're kind of going to a foreign country every time you're going home, but slightly sad because you had your life in the UK because you lived, ate, slept with a bunch of girls for many months on end. Then when you were in Germany, you'd get to see family, but it would be for a short period of time. And then it wasn't necessarily the case that you would be back in the same place. So any friends you made at that time, you may not see the next time you were home for a holiday.
Yeah, because our father was in the forces. So just to explain that we were, he was posted very often. And our stepfather also was in the forces and he was also posted very often. So we would be moving around. I remember one time after 3 weeks, we literally unpacked and had to start packing again because he was posted.
And I think from my point of view, there was one, I went home Easter time. We were in Detmold, Dortmund. Mm-hmm. The next time I went on holiday, for school holiday, we were in Detmold, so we moved from Dortmund to Detmold. And then we moved again. By the time I'd come home for the third holiday, we were in Fallingbostel. Mm. And yeah, so three places in 1 year.
And it wasn't that all the same people moved at the same time because we were attached to units rather than... So yeah, quite a disruptive. But in all fairness, though, you've kept your friends from school. You're still very, very close to now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's because you spent so much time together, your highs, your lows, and so therefore that builds a proper bond sort of thing. And yes, I still have friends today from school days, from the boarding school days.
Which was a convent, but you obviously had a lot of fun out. So I've just
thought you'd throw that one in.
I thought I would. Got to catch up for all the trouble I got into straight afterwards. Now, this is a song that when I actually asked you to be on this programme, I wanted to prompt you with it, but I didn't want to prompt you with it. I wanted you, obviously, to come up with your own memories. But this song just has you all over it. It's the Oops Upside Your Head from the Gap Band.
Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head,
I'm back at you again.
Upside your head.
Radio station is WGAP.
Say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head.
Now on all you gappers and you finger snappers, you toe tappers. And you love laughing. I want y'all to say this with me.
Say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head.
Say it loud.
Say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head.
Say it loud.
Say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head.
Pay attention, sucker.
Say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head.
Hey!
Say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head.
Say oops upside your head.
So yeah, so this, I always remember you being, you know, you're my older sister, you were always classy, and this song would come on and you'd be the first person on the floor, no matter what you're wearing, doing that dance, which I'm going to put a link up on my Facebook page for the people who don't know the dance. I'm sure that people today wouldn't or couldn't do it, to be honest, because of the higher heels and the shorter skirts, perhaps. Yeah. I'm not sure. But tell me what memories that brings back for you.
It can be multiple, but it started off with school discos. Now, remembering we were at a boarding school.
A girls' boarding school.
A girls' boarding school. And they would invite the boys' boarding school to our school disco. Hilarious in itself and probably a huge story just there. But they used to play it at the time. And, invariably straight onto the floor, everybody sitting in a row, one behind each other, so that you're slotted in behind each other, and then start leaning to the right, tapping the floor, leaning to the left, tapping the floor, lean back, forward, and then start all over again. Whilst singing the song, clearly. Now, whoever came up with those dance moves, but then as it led on into my kind of early 20s, and you were now going to clubs, and seeing people literally diving onto the floor to form these lines, it was incredible. So what we'd done as in our younger years, we were now doing as adults, and we just didn't care. It was straight down. You're in your heels, although I didn't wear a lot of short stuff, so that was fine. Straight on the floor and start doing the moves.
And there was nobody dancing around. There were just everybody joins in.
Yeah, literally.
I remember doing the conga. I mean, I wonder how uncool it would be today. But like today,
that'd be like the cleaner version.
Yeah. The good thing is you've got these memories of that kind of dance, because now to be able to get down and get up by the time the song started might take us a bit longer. You would need a hand. But moving swiftly on. So dancing's obviously a big thing for you.
Yes.
And you have Dancing Queen by ABBA.
You had to have an ABBA song in there somewhere, surely. You had to. First of all, any boogie nights, any 80s themed nights, all the school discos would have had it, going out on girls' nights out. But for me, I distinctly remember a photograph of you and I dressed up for a boogie nights.
Oh, okay.
And it just smacks of Dancing Queen. So for me, and remembering sort of like the Mamma Mia movie and what have you, and that's what it reminds me of, is that moment in time, we're going to the boogie nights.
That was not that long ago. That was 10 years ago, something
And and so for me, that's what it reminds me of, that photo of us as we're just getting ready.
Pink big afro hair, wigs and flares.
I had a cat suit, a cream cat suit on, platforms, big feather earrings, and a bright pink afro wig.
Yes. Yeah. I will dig that photo out, because that was fun.
Yeah.
And see if we can both get back into those outfits, I tell you. So, Dancing Queen by ABBA. Here we go.
When you get the chance, you
One thing that wouldn't have happened to us is that we would have ever become famous.
No.
Not for our dancing and singing skills anyway. But you've got Fame by Irene Cara. Now, that was a TV series, wasn't it, originally?
Yeah. So, back in the day, and again at boarding school time, but Fame was a huge TV series, and the music was fabulous. Again, you couldn't sit still. Now, the reason why this one was so prominent in my mind for bringing back memories was because the TV room was of a particular size, and because the programme was so popular, literally the whole boarding house would want to watch it. So partway through the day, you'd start bagsying the seat or the part of the floor, the sofa arm, anywhere that you were going to sit to watch it. And, you know, you used to mark it, that's where you were going to sit.
Uh-huh.
Every time we watched the programme, we'd come out all wanting to be professional dancers, like any of us had any decent moves. But we'd be singing to the songs, we'd get up and dance. I mean, it was just such a happy, feel-good factor. And, yeah, just it was nice because the whole boarding house would get together in order to watch it. And it was just the excitement, the sort of the build-up towards it, then watching the programme itself, chatting about it for hours afterwards, as well as trying to dance up the stairs, etc., going back to your rooms.
And knitting your own leg warmers, maybe?
Leg warmers were a very big thing then. Yes.
Yeah. And because we were at boarding school, it sort of had the same sort of feeling, although we did ballroom dancing, etiquette and deportment. But because you were at a boarding school, you had the same sort of camaraderie and the same sort of feeling that you thought that your sixth form college or your university days would be more like the Fame school than they actually were.
Sign me up. If it was going to be like Fame Academy, then yes, I think we all would have been there.
So you had a pretty good time at boarding school, I think.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I had 8 years, but there's a lot of good memories there.
So send your kids to boarding school. So we're just going to listen to this as our last musical memory with Suzanne, and it's Fame by Irene Cara.
Look at me and tell me what you see.
So you talked about you living in Germany, going to school in England, having quite a good time in the UK. Was there like a lag or any sort of difference with, like you said, every time you went back to Germany, you had to make new friends and do new things. Was there a difference living in Germany than living in a, you know, seaside resort in the UK as a teenager?
I'd say that, no, it was a good experience, don't get me wrong, because although it was short-lived each time you went, you still made connections. It was just whether you were going to see them again or not by the time you came back for your next holiday. But I made friends with, you know, local German children, as well as obviously the army kids, and we had some wild times.
So that wasn't just at school then.
No, I just seemed to, yeah. You know, I made some fabulous friends in Fallingbostel. I think it was because we'd been there 3 years.
Yes, that was a longer post.
Yeah, and so therefore you had time to build up relationships and, you know, reconnect each time you went back. It wasn't so bad going back to boarding school to reconnect because you'd be talking about what you did on your holidays and stuff, and then you'd straight back into schooling, etc., etc. But from the going back to Germany, yes, people understood that you wouldn't be around most of the time and that you were just there for holidays. But yeah, for the likes of the times we were in one particular place for a longer period, you could make better connections because you kept returning, etc.
And so like two-thirds of your musical memories are actually from living in Germany rather than, and the rest are from the UK.
Yes.
Living at school.
Yeah.
Because the music scene would have been slightly different. Because I remember watching Top of the Pops and it would always be a week later. And so when I came back from boarding school to Germany, I always felt really cool because I already knew what was number one and I knew what was, you know, people were going to wear and I knew the gossip. And then you'd go back, you know, after the long summer holiday, go back to England and feel really left out because you had no idea what was going on. And you were then wearing more German sort of clothes because you'd had a couple of months of
However, pressing. they were quite colourful in their attire. But then there'd be some quite cool trends. I don't know if you remember our sort of like winkle pickers.
Yes.
That sort of like looked, I had red ones with black
lines and I had the grey ones. Yeah.
But they were bought in Germany, so some of the funky stuff actually came from Germany. I remember the big collar, not collars, the shoulder pads things at the time. Obviously, some of the youth of today won't know about shoulder pads.
But they'll be coming back in soon.
Yeah,
now we've mentioned them.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we've mentioned them. Well, it was lovely growing up with you and lovely going down musical memory lane with you. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.